morning, everybody. February 23rd, 2019. Welcome to the Aaron's High Cabin Venture Radio program. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you've been a faithful listener to the program, I can't start my day without a cup of fresh Joe from the Hilltop CEFCO here in Cameron. I'm looking at it right there in the video. There it is. Tastes good consistently every time. So if you need a cup of Joe, go to CEFCO Hilltop here in Cameron and get yourself a pack of smokes, newspaper, bag of chips, whatever it takes to get your day going. Go to Hilltop CEFCO in Cameron. We're simulcasting here right now on KMIL 105.1 FM The Ranch and at Rockdale at KRXT 98.5. So if you can't get us on the station, the normal radio dial, check it out on their websites, and we're live streaming right there, so you can check it out there. Also, if you want to make contact and be part of the show today, you can give us a call here at the studio at 254-697-6633. Again, 254-697-6633, or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. That's aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Also, social media, go to our Facebook page, Aaron's Gun Shop. And go to the Facebook page there. Like us on Facebook. The more likes we get, obviously, the more people get to share it and see it and know what's going on and become part of it. And it helps out everybody, okay? So like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram because we've got great current updated videos of what's coming up. And you can keep up with us as we're moving along the road here of good radio. And if you want to check us out or subscribe to us on YouTube, the YouTube channel, Aaron's Gun Shop, we've got a tremendous amount of videos of interviews, product spotlights, training videos, the whole work. So you can learn a lot of things watching the YouTube channel at Aaron's Gun Shop. So check it out there. Now, let me give you an idea of what's coming up on today's show. As always, we got true stories of self-defense coming out of the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. And once again, I'm getting it out of a 1982 issue. And I'm doing that on purpose because I want to see the differences, like I've said before, in the contrast of how stories are written, types of equipment that they're using. But you always notice that the events end up being the same. Somebody tries to break in, they stop them using deadly force, the works. But it's the method, the manner, and the different types of equipment that they use. Now, after that, we're going to have license to carry our attorney segment with the attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. And we started a series. We're doing each week, we're going to be doing one of the amendments of the Bill of Rights. And this week is going to be the Second Amendment. That's the big one, okay? That one protects all the other ones, the Second Amendment. We'll be talking about that with Attorney Extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. And then we have the delicious Janae Goodman. This week, you know, she's the tactical snacker. And this week, she's going to be talking about the food culture, the history of food and how it develops in our, you know, our culture here in America, which will be pretty interesting because there's so many different cultures here in America, how it all blends together into a stew. You know what I'm saying? I got to quit doing that. Then at 11 o'clock, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the connoisseur of common sense, the epitome of encyclopedia, the pontificator of practicality, an all-around good guy. Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. He'll be up right around 11 o'clock. Then after that, we'll have my devotional minute. After that, product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer. It's going to be the Glock 48 9mm. Now listen, everybody, I know, Glock, 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 Glock. This one's a little different. I'll tell you about it during the product spotlight. And then at 11:30, my special guest will be Bill Whitmire, the Republican chair for Milam County and also a host of Bleacher Bum Radio. We're going to be talking about the 25th Amendment. And if you're not up to that, they're trying to get Trump out on the 25th, and we're going to see exactly what they can do, why they would even want to do it, and we'll be discussing that at around 11:30. Okay, so when we get back from this quick break, we're going to be going over true stories, and attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson is in the house. I can't miss you with that colored jacket on, Ross. How's it going, buddy?
Woo! Ready to go.
Ready to go. All right. Joel will take us out. When we come back, we'll be doing true stories. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program. I cannot tell you how hard it is to turn that music off. I start jamming like that to some good rock, and I can't stop it. But anyway, here we are in the Armed Citizens Column of the American Rifleman, talking about true stories of self-defense. I've got attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson to the left here, and I've got a first story that I'm going to ask him a question on. So be ready, Ross. Story number one. Clint Bergen, 72, had lived most of his life in Little Georgetown, Minnesota, and knew that the four suspicious characters he saw across the street from his place didn't belong there at 4 a.m. He grabbed a 12-gauge shotgun, went to investigate, and when he saw that the men carrying cases out of a liquor store, he shot out the tires of their car and put them to flight. The suspects were later captured by police, who said the arrest cleared up a string of local burglaries. Grateful local businessmen honored Bergen with a dinner and a cash award. Do you have any idea what I'm going to ask you, Ross?
No.
Do you think shooting out somebody's tire in this day and age would be acceptable? He's thinking.
I said it probably depends, but yeah, I can see your point that that's a dangerous move.
And the reason I say that is that'd be almost like a warning shot in the air. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to pull your weapon out, you either use it using Penal Code 904, threat is justifiable force, where you don't actually use it, but you show the person that, hey, I can defend myself if necessary, or you do the dirty deed. Shooting at car tires is probably not a good idea because you never know where those bullets are going to go. They could bounce, hit somebody else, reckless injury, so on and so forth. You want to make a comment on that, Ross?
It's a scatter gun, right?
Scatter gun, 12-gauge.
So I guess that's probably, in your professional opinion, the best one to use to shoot out tires?
Well, they do it in the movies quite well, so I don't know. I'm not shooting at tires, buddy. If I'm shooting, we're aiming at something else.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Legally speaking, I guess they were committing theft and burglary at nighttime. They're committing a felony. Protection of property of third persons, they would have that protection. I mean, it's probably legal, but yeah, like you said, man, here.
It would not look favorable in the news if you did that, right?
And that's not a good thing, right? I mean, but at the same time, you're right. That could have, no telling where those bullets may have went.
The bottom line is, be a better witness. Get the license plate, get a description of the people. But shooting a weapon like that, although it's cool, the old man did a good job, you know, blah blah blah. It's reckless in this day and age. Don't do it. Okay, story number two. Police had staked out Robert Edwards Portsmouth, Virginia men's store, expecting an armed robber to strike. But they weren't. But they weren't needed in the end. While the criminal demanded cash, Edwards pulled a pistol and held him for the waiting police. Well, you see, we're just supporting the police. The civilian population can support the police, and vice versa, law enforcement can support the civilian populace. So that kind of worked out both ways. Story number three: an armed robber disguised in the bizarre combination of a woman's wig, makeup, and overcoat was driven out of a Valley View, Pennsylvania drugstore when an unidentified patron produced a pistol and shouted for him to leave. The bandit beat a hasty retreat, driving into the trunk of a waiting getaway car. That's just being prepared, ladies and gentlemen. You have your weapon on, you got a license to carry, you got your gun, you know how to use it, you understand the mindset and the mechanics, and it enables your response time to be proficient, where you can thwart a would-be robber from doing what he wants to do by being a readily armed citizen who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I gotta go, but you got me thinking. One time when I was little, I had a pellet gun, and there was a trampoline. I thought, man, I'm gonna shoot a hole in that trampoline. I shot that trampoline. Thing came back in. there's your sign. But
what does that teach you? Use a higher velocity.
It's physics, man. It's trigonometry.
It's trigonometry, that's right, man.
But if you shoot the tire, you got to run a risk of ever those things coming back on you? I mean, is that ever a risk?
Well, I've shot, I would get old tires and put cardboard inserts in them, and then somebody on one side of the range would roll it down a ramp and it would bounce. And so you got your basic 500 security pump shotgun, and as it's rolling across the range there, you get five rounds at it, and you're shooting at it. I've never had bounce back on it, but there's always that possibility. It could hit a steel belt. It could hit the rim of the car. Anything. Cannot determine. You cannot guarantee where those rounds are going to go.
So that would be really bad, right? If you, I'm going to shoot their tire, and then all of a sudden you take yourself out.
Hey, I know somebody who was putting a target on a T-post, a metal T-post for a fence. They were hanging it there. They were shooting a 9mm, and they had it where the backside was facing them. So when the bullet hit, it went in one of those recesses, the curves in the backside, and went right back and hit him in the stomach. So you got to be careful what you're shooting at, your backstop, and all that.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, man. I'm sorry about that.
It's all good radio, dude. Okay, last story here from the Armed Citizens column. Gary Beckham was surprised to find a van with its engine running in the driveway of his Charlotte, North Carolina home when he returned for lunch. He was even more surprised when he saw a pair of burglars trying to remove his 25-inch console color TV set. He grabbed a 38 and held them for police. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, nothing wrong with that. It's just interesting how, it's not really interesting. He pulled out a 38, but this is a 1982 story. A lot of people are pulling out 32 calibers, 25 autos, 22s, 38 revolvers. So this is just a plain Jane story. Somebody comes home and finds somebody robbing his house and holds him at bay with his 38 revolver. You can do that too if you're armed and you're proficient with what you're doing. Now, I've got a bonus story I want to read, a couple bonus stories here. This is out of the paper. Deputies say woman shot, injured after music complaint. And the reason I'm reading this story is because I had a similar situation happen to me. Didn't go to this extreme, but I'll explain. This is Houston. Authorities said a Houston woman was shot and injured after complaining about loud music from a party. KTRK TV reported that the woman was in her apartment Saturday night when she yelled at a group that was having a party in their complex's parking lot. The woman had asked the partygoers to turn off their music and go elsewhere. Deputies said someone from the party went to the woman's apartment and the two started throwing bottles at each other. Investigators say that someone fired a shot from the parking lot, hitting the woman in her shoulder, and the injury was non-threatening. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up was I was at a hotel one time, and you know, you pay for your room, you want to get some peaceful sleep, and a whole bunch of crazy drunk people are in the parking lot drinking, making a hell of a lot of noise, and you just can't go to sleep. So go out there and say, hey, you know, guys, tired, want to go to sleep, can you move it on? And man, you get hassled. It's a mob mentality. You got to be careful of that mob mentality, all right? Now, this is kind of interesting. It's not really interesting. It's stupid. So let's learn from this stupidity here. Man shoots self in stomach during daughter's party. Once again, Houston, must be something in the water. Authorities said a suburban Houston man was injured after he accidentally shot himself in the stomach at his daughter's birthday party. The Harris County Sheriff's Office said the unidentified man was spinning a gun in his hand on Saturday when the weapon accidentally fired. Authorities said the accidental shooting took place during the party at the man's home for his 16-year-old daughter. The man was taken to the local hospital and treated. His condition was not immediately known. I know his condition. Stupid. Spinning a weapon that's loaded. It was probably one of these. It was probably a Glock with a 3 to 5 pound trigger, and you spin it and it hits and it goes off. Okay, so don't do that. If you're gonna do it, get a toy gun or make sure at least it's empty. One or two. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I got an opinion, and because we're gonna be talking about the Second Amendment today, it's pretty much based on that, I guess. But it's not an opinion. It's going to be an observation piece. We changed it from opinion pieces because opinions aren't worth much. It's titled, Criminal, Ignorant, Fearful, and Just Plain Stupid. Ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to the Second Amendment, not to mention a lot of other things too, people have a tendency to fall into four different categories. Criminal, ignorant, fearful, and just plain stupid. Well, there is a fifth group. And that group consists of logical and patriotic people, which I admit proudly that I am one of. So what do I mean about the other four categories? Let me take them one at a time. These, of course, will be my observations and not opinions, because we all know everyone has an opinion and they're not worth much. I'll start with criminal. These people know darn well that it's not the gun that causes the crime, but the people using the gun. However, they play with people's emotion to make guns look bad so they can further their agendas. Their basic agenda is, if the masses don't have guns, then they can do what they want with limited resistance. The second group are just plain ignorant. And now, ignorant's not a bad word, okay? It's just a definition of who they are. They mean well, but they're not knowledgeable on the topic and make bad decisions when it comes to gun laws. The third group is just fearful. These people are afraid of their own shadows and wouldn't even have a cardiac arrest if a gun was in 20 feet of their location. These people are typically wearing filter face masks, wipe their hands constantly with desanitizer, and rarely go out in public for fear of someone looking at them. Then, finally, comes the idiot. The person who's just clueless to life itself and is constantly allowing things to happen to them that a well-rounded person would be able to handle. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you may think I'm harsh with my words, but is speaking the truth harsh? Why, yes, sometimes it is, but sometimes it's necessary. You see, I will never forget the men and women, past and present, who have worn or wear a uniform to protect our Constitution and Bill of Rights. And because of that, I will fight, rebuke, resist those who wish to alter, deny, or eliminate the Second Amendment or any part of the Bill of Rights or Constitution. So, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, and keep the criminal ignorant, fearful, and just plain stupid. Joel, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. We'll be talking Second Amendment.
Next time you need heating and air conditioning or even duct cleaning, call Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating in Rockdale. Routine maintenance, repairs, installation, or duct cleaning. Get the pros at Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating. 512-446-4820. Stop by 1244 U.S. 79 in Rockdale. They can service all brands of residential and commercial HVAC systems and are available 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays. For the best, call Climate Control in Rockdale. 512-446-4020.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Hi, I'm Jason Donalek from EBCO Development. Sure, someone working out of the back of their truck can always offer you a cheaper price, but sometimes they're kind of hard to find after the job is done. Remember, EBCO Development has been there for you for more than 25 years. Offering quality roofing, remodeling, new construction, and more. Call us first, 254-697-2186. 697-2186.
It's a trust as true as Texas. A friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to insure
the good things in life. Trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
What you want, baby, I got it. What you need, too, you know I got it, too. All I'm asking you is for a little respect when you just a little bit. Hey, baby, just a little bit. Oh, just a little bit. Mister, just a little bit. I ain't gonna do you wrong.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cabin Mitchell Radio Program. Today is, what day is today, Joel? Saturday 23rd. Thank you very much. We're having too much of a good time here. I forgot what the date was. 23rd of February 2019. And to my left is the attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. This segment is brought to you by Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Ross, tell everybody about Respect.
RespectForYou.com. Yeah. It's Rick Dodd, Capolino Dodd and Krebs. Not criminal law. We're talking about maybe a little today, but you got some problems with big corporations or somebody that hurts you and you want some to get some respect for you. Call Rick.
It's a good connection there, the way they play that. Okay, so thanks, Rick, for the segment. And Ross, what we're going to talk about today, we're doing a series for the next 10 weeks. We're actually now this week and eight to follow. We're about the Bill of Rights. And we're on number two, the Second Amendment. And that's a big one with a lot of people. So we're going to discuss that. I got a couple of comments that I want to make on it. But I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to do this every week. I'm going to read the preamble to the Bill of Rights. And I'll say it again, when they ratified the Constitution, they wanted to make sure that certain things were not misunderstood. So the preamble to the Bill of Rights reads as follows. The conventions of a number of the states having at the time of their adopting the Constitution expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. And as extending the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the benefits the beneficent ends of its institutions. Okay? I think I screwed that word up. The Second Amendment reads, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And my first thing is going to be this. The word infringed. When you look it up in the definition, it's like it says don't jack with it. The other thing about the Second Amendment is the Second Amendment protects all the other ones. Without the Second Amendment, anybody can jack with the 1 through 9, mess with the Constitution, because there's nobody, the people, to make sure that government doesn't go rogue. Okay, so the Second Amendment is very important. And I'm sure you have a lot of things you want to go over on it as well. So why don't we start off with that?
I would definitely say, though, that my opinion is that every single one of the amendments are as important as the next one. And I said last week when we did our show on the First Amendment that if you go through us all the way through the Bill of Rights, through this series, that you'll see each and every single one of them, right, is intertwined and depends on the other one. Without your free speech and without your right to assemble, you couldn't associate and communicate with other people. Without the Fourth Amendment, you wouldn't be able to protect your personal liberty, your freedom of movement. Right, you wouldn't be able to protect your personal, private matters from government. Without the Second Amendment, you wouldn't be able to use force to protect these things. It would be, right, slaves of tyranny. There would be no way for us to fight back. You'll see from the Fifth Amendment, we could be railroaded. I mean, a lot of times you're already railroaded without these rights, and that shows the importance of them. Even in all the times we talk about all the strange cases that come about, everything that the rights that we do have, but yet the system is still skewed. Think about if we didn't have these things.
Yep.
And so all of them are extremely important. And so, I mean, today we are talking about the Second Amendment. And
I want to make a comment, though, about what you just said. if you're a Game of Thrones enthusiast, there was one episode where Lord Baelish is talking to Queen Cersei, and he says to her, "Knowledge is power." And all of a sudden, she starts giving commands to her bodyguards to slice his throat, to hold him prisoner, so on and so forth. And she kept changing her mind in an instant. Every second she would change her mind, and they would just obey her, every word. And she goes, "No, power is power." And so when I say Second Amendment is the one that protects all the others, you have all these powers and the rights, the Bill of Rights, but this one's got the meat and potatoes to it that protects all the rest.
And so as far as the muscle aspect is concerned, the Second Amendment definitely brings that to the table. And so that's what really, though, is argued by the camp that says that the Second Amendment, right, doesn't protect our right to bear arms. They say that by stating that a well-regulated militia, as the beginning clause, as the clause that sort of introduces the amendment, that those opponents are going to say that this was only meant for, right, people in the military. This is only meant for to protect the right of sort of state militias, sort of the Congress's right to, right, maneuver the militias, and that they could take that right away. And so that's where D.C. versus Heller came in with Scalia, and I'm going to talk about that today, but I wanted to start off with, you know,
Can I hold your thought for a second? I got to say this. You're reading this, and it makes me think of people when they look at it and they read the Second Amendment. Not that you did this. I'm just saying you said something that made me think of this. People look at the Second Amendment as a bullet point. They say the militia. They don't do their history. They don't do their homework. And they don't realize that we, the citizens, are the militia. And you can see that in all different documentation throughout the history of this country, its formation, and all the letters and documents that the founding fathers wrote. You don't have to just read this per se. You can read all the supportive element as to how they came down to write it in the Second Amendment form, that we, the people, are the militia. At any moment, we can bear arms, and we're ready to go.
That was actually a great, great introduction to what Scalia said in his opinion piece. So when he came into that decision, he said, remember, I always talk about words mean things.
Absolutely.
Okay, and so when you talk about a grammatical genius, you're talking about Scalia in the best. So some of this is way over our heads, but right of the people. So right of the people, they would not have used the people when we're talking about a militia in this context on the federal level. So when we're talking about the people, we're talking about the personal rights here. And so we're not talking about any one group. We're talking about the common. So if we're talking about the people, it's an individual right. And that's another thing, like you just said, infringed. I always talk about when we look at the Second Amendment, we know that that right existed. And we talk about there's rights inherent, ordained by God. There's natural rights to man that the government, right, had no right to take from you. It goes all the way back to Magna Carta. And so when we talk about those rights, but it cannot be infringed. That means the right already exists. And so this amendment wasn't giving us anything. It was simply saying that the government can't come in and infringe that right that already exists. And so,
Can I ask you something before I forget it? If it says it can't be infringed, and that's in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, okay, and anything not written in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights is left up to the states to determine. If it says in here it shall not be infringed, how can the state, where does the state find that they can infringe upon us on how we carry, who carries, what you can carry, and all that? How does that work?
So a lot of that is really hard for me to answer right now. I mean, this is really an area of developing law. Remember, we talked about United States versus Miller, and that goes back to like the 1930s. That was one of the first, you know, Second Amendment cases. And remember, we spoke about it was kind of a set-up deal where it was a gangster that really never even contested it. He was just trying to get government help to get away from people who were trying to assassinate him, who eventually did assassinate him. And so it goes up to the Supreme Court level, and there's nobody even challenging on the other side. It's essentially like a default judgment. Like, you are suing somebody, you hire Rick to sue you, somebody that hits you in a car wreck, and then you file a lawsuit, and they don't answer, and you show up, you know, after 30 days, and you and the judge, and you get a default judgment. That's sort of what happened here. Was no contest, and so the court just sort of assumed, went along with the state's argument that, okay, well, the Second Amendment doesn't apply, and that, you know, it's not infringed by this, you know, Gun Control Act. And so that's how we got there. And then so several years later, we have DC versus Heller come in and tell us, look, this is an individual right. It's protected by the Second Amendment. It was a natural right. It pre-existed right during the times of the founding. The founding respected this right. This right applies. Keep and bear arms has the same meaning back then as it does today, that we can carry arms. And it doesn't apply to a militia, because the militia is made up by the people. And it only made sense that if you wanted to take away the militia, all you had to do was take away the people's firearms. And you had so many state constitutions with personal rights during this time say that there was for self-preservation, self-defense. You had several, including Texas's constitution, that included a right to carry and bear arms to protect yourself, to hunt, to protect your property. And these had nothing to do with the militia. And so they looked at all of those laws. And so we said that guns that were commonly, right, equipped for military use were actually rights that were protected to the people. And so your question is a hard one, but we start off with, you wanted people during that time period to know how to use a weapon in case something were to, you know, to use modern day terminology, pop off. Okay, if something, if we were to get invaded and we needed to call a militia quick, you didn't want to have to train your populace how to use a weapon. They already knew how to use a weapon. They knew how to respect weapons. They knew what to do with it as soon as they were called to duty. And they were not scared to be called to duty because they were well trained, because they always had these on them.
And patriotic.
And so those things were military weapons during that time period. And so today, the tough question is to strike a proper balance. Do we want people walking around with bazookas, you know, 50 cals? Probably not, but at the same time, do we want responsible people trained to use those and able to use those in a safe way that we're sure of? Is that permissible? And so I would say yes.
Let me make a comment on the bazooka thing. I know Rick brings this up too, a nuclear bomb and all this kind of stuff. Use the First Amendment to prevent that from happening. And let me tell you what I mean. If you got somebody carrying a bazooka for self-defense, he's going to be shamed, or she's going to be shamed by all the other reasonable people and say, man, you idiot. What the heck are you carrying a bazooka for? And he's going to get to the point where it's no fun. He's not cool. He's not hip, because he probably is a loser to begin with, because he's got to carry a bazooka. You know how it's like if you're a guy and you get a Corvette, what people say about you, you know, you're using the Corvette to make up for.
Yeah.
Well, so he's got a bazooka because he's trying to make up for some, you know.
Well, you got to realize there are dangerous people out there, and there are people that are going to try to hurt us, not just to be cool, not just to fit in. Maybe they want to get their message across in a dangerous way to do it. Maybe it's just for attention. But regardless, there are some people that the state feels they have a right to regulate to some degree. Felons, which we've already talked about to some degree, that's it's a little absurd in some cases, but in other cases, it's well deserved. And right, the democracy, the republic that we have, is not perfect, and so we have to try to strike some sort of middle ground, a compromise about what we can regulate and what we can't. And we're getting into these cases. So then we had McDonald versus Chicago. That was a 2010 after Heller came in, and it was basically Chicago trying to prevent everybody from owning a handgun. And we now know from that case that the Second Amendment does apply to the states, okay? And it's sort of complicated. Originally, the Bill of Rights were said not to apply to the states. It was just a federal thing. It only prevented the federal government from coming in and doing something. The states already had their own rights, and it was understood that they were separate. And during that time period, a lot more rights were given on the state level than they were on the federal level anyway. Okay, aside, you know, from the bad things, slavery and such. But from just a general standpoint, a lot of times the state rights gave more, and they still give more to some degree. But that case talked about incorporation, and after the Civil War, we had the 14th Amendment. And when we had the 14th Amendment come about, that incorporated all the Bill of Rights, okay, to control state level operations. Not every single one of them. And remember, there's clauses within the Bill of Rights. Each amendment has its own separate clauses, and so some clauses were said to apply, some were said to not to apply. But here we have the Second Amendment now being incorporated either by the Privileges and Immunities Clause within the 14th Amendment or the Due Process Clause. Regardless, we know that it's incorporated and applies on the state level. And so because it applies on the state level, the state could not come in. Remember, D.C., Columbia, right, was not necessarily a state. Okay? It was its own little nation. It was its own little independent body. Okay? And so this case was important because it applied on the state level to prevent Chicago from the municipality from regulating the Second Amendment rights. So now we know that we have this right. And now the question is, right, what does it apply to? Well, we have several cases of Fifth Circuit opinion talking about felons possessing firearms. They upheld the laws outlawing that. It was not unconstitutional. But then in 2016, we had Caetano versus Massachusetts. It was about a stun gun. And it's a very good case. And so what happened here is that the state of Massachusetts outlawed stun guns and made it a crime, essentially, to have that type of weapon. And Miss Caetano, right, was caught with one of these weapons when she was in her purse. When she was talking to police officers about another case, they saw the stun gun in her purse, and they ended up arresting her and convicting her. Well, they ended up going all the way to the United States Supreme Court. And really, it's not even that long of an opinion, and it's a great read. It's short. And it's aggressive. It's my kind of style of case that I like to read. And they went real quick at the beginning. And I'm going to read some of Justice Alito's concurring opinion. But they talked about, they first said that stun guns are not legal. This is the lower courts in Massachusetts said that they weren't legal because they were not in common use at the time the Second Amendment's enactment. And if you remember, see, I'm kind of getting your question, but your question is very broad, okay? Justice Scalia said that we don't apply constitutional amendments, right, in a vacuum that was back in the 1700s. We apply it, not necessarily, he didn't believe in necessarily an evolving constitution either, but we've got to apply it to the everyday, right, sort of circumstance, okay? And so
what was common back then was common
was muskets. Today, it's common is handguns, absolutely. And so in the Heller case, he said this very common. Most Americans do have the handguns. It's essential for home defense use. This is what the fundamentals of the Second Amendment were made to protect, right? We cannot come in and infringe on that right. And so that was the right. Even though handguns weren't there at the time the Second Amendment was enacted, it's a common use.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so they said that's absurd to say that because stun guns weren't in use at the time the Second Amendment was enacted, that it's illegal. That's absurd. And then the lower courts said that...
Hold on a second. Ladies and gentlemen, this is very interesting. While he's reading, the number here at the studio is 254-697-6633. I'm sure somebody's got a question. Go ahead.
And then the lower courts in Massachusetts also said that they were illegal because, and it was constitutional because the guns were unusual because they were a thoroughly modern invention. Well, the Supreme Court said that's the same thing. That's the exact same thing as what we just said. Just because it's not in use at the time of the Second Amendment doesn't mean that it's not common. To say that it's a new invention would be to say that it was not in use at the time of the Second Amendment. Therefore, since it's now common today, mm-hmm. and as an invention, we can't use it. They said, no, we're not going to go with that. And then I talked about, well, a stun gun is different from what Scalia said because it's not readily adaptable to military use. And we don't only look at the weapons that were adaptable for military use. There are other things other than a militia. We're not only concerned with the militia. We're concerned with personal preservation, protection of your home, protection of your family, protection of your property, to go hunting, to go in sporting events. We are also concerned in personal liberty. Okay, and so these things, right, were ridiculous to say that it was constitutional to outlaw stun guns. And there was evidence presented before the court. And this, I thought you would really like this opinion because you're always talking about the club. Remember, you always bring up the clubs. Mm-hmm. And so I think that eventually some of the Texas laws on the books are going to be called into question because of this Caetano case. But
what causes a law to be in question? Somebody gets arrested and wants to fight it?
Exactly. So Ms. Caetano got convicted for having this stun gun. Mm-hmm. And here's what Alito says. He starts the opinion like this. It's beautiful. After a bad altercation with an abusive boyfriend put her in the hospital, Jamie Caetano found herself homeless in fear of her life. She obtained multiple restraining orders against her abuser, but they proved futile. So when a friend offered her a stun gun for self-defense against her former boyfriend, Caetano accepted the weapon. It is a good thing she did. One night after leaving work, Caetano found her ex-boyfriend waiting for her outside. He started screaming that she was not going to expletive work at this place anymore because she should be at home with her kids they had together. Caetano's abuser towered over her by nearly a foot and outweighed her by close to 100 pounds. She didn't need physical strength to protect herself. She stood her ground, displayed the stun gun, and announced, "I'm not going to take this anymore. I don't want to have to use the stun gun on you, but if you don't leave me alone, I'm going to have to." The gambit worked. The ex-boyfriend got scared and left her alone. It is settled that the Second Amendment protects an individual right to keep and bear arms that applies against the federal government and the states. That right vindicates the basic rights of individual self-defense. Caetano's encounter with her violent ex-boyfriend illustrates the connection between those fundamental rights. By arming herself, Caetano was able to protect against physical threat that restraining orders had proved useless to prevent. And commendably, she did so by using a weapon that posed little, if any, danger of permanently harming either herself or the father of her children. Under Massachusetts law, however, Caetano's mere possession of the gun that may have saved her life actually made her a criminal. When police later discovered the weapon, she was arrested, tried, convicted. Massachusetts Supreme Court affirmed the conviction, holding that the stun gun is not the type of weapon that is eligible for Second Amendment protection because it was not in common use at the time of the Second Amendment's enactment. This reasoning defies our decision in Heller, which rejected such arguments as frivolous, only those arms in existence at the 18th century are protected by the Second Amendment. The decision below also does a grave disservice to vulnerable individuals like Caetano who must defend themselves because the state will not.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Man, he goes on there, but I won't read it all. But man, he really comes out with fire in that opinion. And I think he hits the very heart of the issue. And it's like you said, when we talk about the girls, I'm not being sexist, but I think about my boss, when she goes running, right, I want her to be able to carry something like that in case something happens. And it's not always feasible to carry a firearm on you in situations like that. And I know you have some gadgets and gizmos, but still, sometimes those types of devices are a whole lot even more safe. Because she can hold it in one hand, it's right here, ready to go if something ever happens, right on the spot.
And I don't care what it is, as long as it does the job, you know?
Exactly. And so I think that you just kind of answers your question, right? What kind of weapons, when is this state regulation, when can they regulate and when can they not, and why can they regulate and why can't they? Who would have thought that the Second Amendment, you know, just 10 years ago, would have included stun guns? I agree with the opinion, absolutely, because the fundamental right is the exact same. Mm-hmm. It is the fundamental right that they're protecting, not the object. They're not protecting the weapon. They're protecting the right. And so I believe that the opinion does the Second Amendment justice, and I believe it hits it right nail on the head. But how far, what specific weapons are they going to accept as being protected by the Constitution? You know, time's just going to have to tell. And with here, they have evidence that many, many, many people are trying to use these types of devices. And so that was presented to the Supreme Court, and they considered that. And I think that did play a role. And a lot of this was statistics are done by the NRA. So, I mean, that's what that organization gives you.
I'm silent because I have so many questions running through my head. I don't know what to ask. It's just, you can go in so many different directions with this. And I think what I want to run away with is that people need to just not read at face value what the Second Amendment means. You got to learn its history. You got to understand it, like you're explaining here. And once you have a better understanding, you see how it applies better and how much more you want to protect it. People get very misguided when they see militia, and they have to have an understanding of it. And there's other rights that we're going to be going over as time goes by that I'm sure other people will not truly understand until we explain it. But, I mean, explaining it in this manner opens up to a lot of people that there's still a lot of confusion, and we have to be very careful in how we handle ourselves.
Well, thank you. So Scalia pointed out in his Heller opinion that we have just time after time, time again, when emperors or kings or totalitarianism regimes wanted to control the people, they didn't always disband the militia. They just disarmed them and disarmed the people. And so a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state is absolutely true, because we want, like we said, we wanted our people to understand, be trained, be armed, be ready, be able to defend themselves in an instant when tyranny was on our doorstep.
I was just going to bring that up. We keep talking about self-defense, but one of the main reasons for us to bear arms is in case we have a rogue government. We're supposed to be able to protect our government from people inside it becoming rogue. How are you going to do that with a musket? You've got to maintain modern arms to what your government authority has. Otherwise, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Correct. And so you'll see on TV and a lot of internet websites, they say that, based on that opinion, I don't know what they're reading, that based on that opinion, you can't have modern day weaponry. Well, that's not at all what they said, obviously, because they just said it doesn't depend on whether they existed at the time of the Second Amendment's enactment. Yes, it talked about there being very extreme high-tech military weapons that obviously we're not going to give right to society. I don't even think you would argue with a lot of those weapons that we're talking about, but at some level there's got to be a compromise. But we're definitely not saying that no advancements in weaponry can be made. Remember, we're not protecting the weaponry, we're protecting the right.
I concur. There's I don't know. There's, if you look at it, if the government doesn't like a certain sector, they're going to put a drone strike on you. So an AR-15 and semi-auto mode is not going to do a damn bit of good anyway.
Correct. And correct. It's just, I mean, obviously the drones is another thing, but if people are resilient, if something did happen, I'm sure people would find a way to take them down. And it was, if we didn't have any, we would sure be more vulnerable than if we do.
Well, it's like I wrote my opinion piece. The reason they want to take them away, the basic agenda for taking away the gun is to prevent resistance from those who disagree with those in charge. So if you got a group that's in charge and they want to take away your guns, they say, well, we got it. They can't really resist us. We're going to do what we want to do. So
all right. Sometimes you get a good old mentor of mine used to say, sometimes you just got to make them come to their milk. And sometimes, even if you're fighting a losing battle, sometimes the fight is what counts.
That's right, because you never know what can happen. It can always change. All right, let's finish it up. Tell everybody who you are, where they get a hold of you, and we'll take it from there.
Ben Watson, Watson Legal PC, 605-254-605-4140. That's 254-605-4140. That's my phone number. Give me a call if you have any questions about the show, or if maybe we just briefly touched on something or was about to get to something that maybe you thought and wanted to ask a question about it. Please send emails. We'll be getting a lot of emails. I do appreciate them. Make sure you leave your phone number so I can give you a call in case I can't get back to you on email. And if my email is benton@watson.legal. That's benton@watson.legal. Or come see me at the office here, 105 East Main Street here in Cameron. Big Milk on the side. You can't miss it.
Sounds good. And Rick, we appreciate Copeland with Dodd Krebs Law Firm for sponsoring this long segment. And respectforyou.com. Check it out. Joel, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have the delicious Janae Goodman talking about the food culture. See you on the other side.
Cavallino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cavallino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cavallino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Hello, my lovelies. Honey is celebrated in the culinary world for its versatility. It's used in a variety of dips, desserts, and other dishes. So what's all the buzz about it? I've got your answer to this and more. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. It's hot, sticky, and sweet. It's one of the many world wonders. Honey is produced by bees and comes in a variety of types, clover and buckwheat honey being some that you might be familiar with. The difference between honey varieties rests in a few factors, color and flavor profile being the two most important details. This really only makes a difference if you plan on using your honey for specific tasks. For instance, buckwheat honey is useful for mead making because of its deep, complex taste that's similar to molasses. It lends itself very well to spices and herbs. Clover and wildflower honey carry a more subtle taste, and they make a great choice for general use or for someone who's not really looking for an overwhelming flavor. I like to call these beginner honeys because they make a great introduction for the product. You may have heard that honey is better for you than regular table sugar. Now, there's some truth in that statement, but I don't want you to be fooled. When compared side by side, honey can be just as caloric, if not more caloric, than white granulated sugar. The two contain about the same amount of carbs and sugars as well. So why is it that you tend to hear honey being the healthier option of the two? Honey is lower on the glycemic index than sugar, meaning that it doesn't raise your blood sugar as quickly. It also contains a higher level of natural sweetness, or fructose, than white sugar does. That means that you tend to use less honey to achieve the same amount of sweetness. Honey may have up to 80 different vitamins and minerals that we all need. This includes iron, potassium, calcium, and so much more. The darker your honey, the more antioxidants it carries. Now compare that to white granulated sugar, which virtually has no helpful vitamins or minerals. You've probably heard the scoop on honey being used for medicinal purposes. If not, let me let you in on what it's all about. Raw honey is helpful for treating burns, even those caused by the sun. It carries antibacterial properties and offers soothing relief. It can also help ulcers and act in place of minor wound dressings. Manuka honey is best for medicinal use. Can't stop coughing? A spoonful of honey just might be your relief. Some studies support the sweet nectar being just as effective as an over-the-counter cough suppressant. Mix it up with lemon and warm water just before bed for a less severe cough and a better night of rest. Unfortunately, this won't be the answer to curing your allergy. Some believe eating locally sourced honey will help reduce your reaction to allergies because of its pollen content. However, there is no direct link between reduced allergies and local honey. Honey can also be used for skin and hair as well. Add a squeeze of honey to your shampoo for a natural moisturizer. It may even strengthen hair follicles. Use it on your skin to reduce acne or to reduce the signs of aging. Honey's antioxidant properties are great for both. Can you believe it? Honey has been found to be one of the oldest foods, and guess what? It doesn't spoil. It should be kept at room temperature, and if you put it in the fridge, it will crystallize. If you've made this mistake, just put your waterproof container of honey in hot water and leave it at room temperature until it gets back to the liquid gold consistency. You can also scrape it into a container and put it in the microwave for a few seconds before letting it sit out at room temperature. I love using honey in my recipes, but I hate cleaning it up. To make things easier along the way, I use a small bit of spray oil in my measuring utensils for an easier cleanup. It also helps make it a more accurate measurement. Thinking about adding honey to your marinade? Well, you wouldn't be wrong for doing so. Before you move forward, I do think you should know that honey has the properties to break down meat. Honey contains an enzyme that breaks down meat very similar to the way that pineapple juice does. It is a highly acidic item. However, honey is too viscous to work on its own, so I do recommend adding liquid to your marinade. As wonderful of a product as honey is, please do not give it to children younger than the age of 2. You may be surprised that this isn't a choking hazard. Honey can actually induce infant botulism. That's a food poisoning that's caused by a certain bacterium that's found in the honey. While older children and adults are able to fend against the dose found in honey, infants have not developed an immune system to help fight this disease. If you thought this segment was the bee's knees, let me know. Shoot me an email at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com. As always, thanks for spending your time with me. Enjoy your sweet, sweet weekend. And until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a great day. Boy, the wind is whipping around. I'm in our great state capital right now. The wind was whipping so hard, trucks were going everywhere. But it's a beautiful day outside. And I'm down here with all the freaks and all the geeks and all the longhorns and all the good guys at the state capital of Texas today. Anyhow, I thought I'd talk about a couple things that, you know, kind of are near and dear to me. I don't know about y'all, but a couple of weeks ago, I celebrated a major milestone birthday. I guess I am now an official senior citizen. But I started thinking about what happens when we grow older. What happens as we get to that age where, you know, sometimes our bones don't want to work like they used to. Sometimes our get up and go has been got up and went. Well, what I thought I'd do is I'd touch a little bit on some safety for those of us that are considered seniors nowadays. You know, safety for seniors is a big issue. As we grow older, you know, our chances of being victimized usually decreases dramatically. But a lifetime of experience, folks, is coupled with the physical problems that are associated with aging, often make us older Americans fearful, sometimes more than we should be. Pardon me. Though they're on we're always on the lookout for either being physically attacked or burglary, something of that nature. We always worry about that, especially as we get older. We worry about our families, about things of violence and such as that. You can't open the newspaper now that you don't see that violence takes place. And so we worry about that. But, you know, we're not as worried as we should be about frauds and con games. That is the greatest reality, the greatest threat of crime to most of us senior citizens. We want to conquer that fear and how to prevent that crime. We don't want that to happen to us. So what I thought is I'd look at some common sense precautions. And these are just simple, simple precautions. You know, I've pulled up to a couple of intersections down here in Austin today, and everywhere I look, I mean, every single corner, somebody has got a sign saying, homeless, would you donate, would you give a dollar? Some of them say war vets. Some of them say, you know, down on their luck. You know, I look at that and I think to myself, there's a lot of jobs out there, folks. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't want those jobs. You know, if you've been to Temple lately, almost on every corner along the loop or up by 31st Street, there is the panhandlers that are on the corners. And I realize that a lot of those folks are down on their luck, and they probably need a help. But sometimes I wonder, do we do a handout or a hand up? You know, I went last night to, I think it was McDonald's or one of the fast food places, and everywhere you look, there's signs that say help wanted. Well, unfortunately, when that happens, we sometimes get a little cynical about the people that are trying to get money or beg money. Now, what is this? What am I bringing this to? Well, when someone approaches your car, it really makes you nervous. Even to the point nowadays that I thought to myself, you know, it's a form of a fear that when someone walks up to your car, you worry about it. You know, we don't want to shoot them, even though we've got our guns with us. You know, we don't want to scare them away with a weapon. So we just want them to stay away from us. So what you need to do is you need to make sure that you don't start by rolling your window down. When someone comes up to your car, don't make eye contact. Don't ignore them. Sometimes, you know, wave them off. I come up with a little idea that I put on my truck. I got an old sign that I laminated, and it says, do not approach. And I put, every time somebody walks up, I put that to my window. Sometimes it makes them mad. But you know what? They don't have a right to get mad if you don't want to be bothered. Now, you need to be alert when you're out and about. Watch what's around you. When you go to the mall, when you go to a store, or if you go to out to eat somewhere, watch where you park. Look where you park. If you know this is going to be dark when you come back, park under streetlights. There's plenty of lighting in most of those locations. Always, always go out with friends and family. Try not to go alone. You know, as we get older, sometimes we are alone. We've lost our mate or something's happened to us. But, you know, make a friend. Make some friends. Go out with them. You know, everybody jokes about the seniors eating at 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. in the evening. Well, you know, it's not to get the discount, folks. Many people eat at that age and go out at that age so that they won't be bothered by the night crowds and the people around them. If you're a female, carry your purse close to your body. Don't dangle it by the straps. I talked to a lady just not too long ago, about a week ago, as a matter of fact, and she had been out shopping somewhere, and she had one of these big old suitcase purses, I call them, and it had these long straps on it, and she had it wrapped around her shoulder and her arm. Well, unfortunately, somebody grabbed her purse and was trying to steal it. What happened, it pulled her down and it hurt her leg. So, you know, carry your wallet, carry as least and as little as possible. Above all, don't carry your credit cards with you, and if you don't need them, if you need your credit cards, only carry one or two, and don't carry large amounts of cash either. You know, some of us are getting to that age now where we have that wonderful thing called Social Security coming in. If you have Social Security coming in, and some of the older folks still get hard checks, make sure that you try to go over to direct deposit. It's much safer for you. When you're driving, let's talk about that a minute. When you're driving, make sure you keep your doors locked. That includes the passenger door. That includes every door around you. Most of the newer cars have auto lock. As soon as you put it in drive, the door's locked, the window's locked. A lot of the older ones don't. A lot of the older pickups don't. Make sure you check into that. Make sure you lock your doors when you go somewhere. And once again, I talked about parking. Make sure that you're particularly careful in parking lots. Watch what you do. Watch where you park. When you're riding, if you're going to ride a bus, and we have very few buses in this area, but I know that we have the hop and things of that nature. If you're going to ride a hop, especially in darkness or in daytime, sit as close to the driver as possible. People don't think about that. And I know we have a lot of listeners, especially those that maybe enjoy traveling more. They go to some of the bigger cities that have either subways or they have metro buses. If you're going to ride the trams, if you're going to ride the buses or the subways, try to park your hiney as close as you can to the driver of that particular vehicle. Just safer. Now, if someone makes you uneasy, And we talk about that a little bit. What makes us uneasy? Well, if somebody does make you uneasy, trust your instincts. Your gut feeling is the most important thing you can have. You know, that's what keeps most police officers alive. It keeps them most safe. Do the same for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Keep your instincts alive and well inside of you. If you feel uncomfortable, react to that uncomfortability. Move. Go somewhere. Do something. Get some protection. Carry your weapon with you. Always. Always. Get your license. Put a weapon in your vehicle. Put a weapon on your body. That's the safest thing you can do. Trust me. Now, what do we do about our home? Well, number one, make sure your home is safe and secure. A lot of burglaries take place during this time of year. And, you know, right now, isn't it wonderful? We can turn off the heater. We can raise our windows. Spring has sprung. There's trees budding out everywhere. Down in this area, the blue vines are starting to pop up in groves. And I saw a flock of robins in a couple of trees. And, you know, when you see robins, that means winter's over. So make sure your home is safe and secure. When you raise those windows up to be able to get any kind of fresh air, make sure you close them at nighttime or close them when you're going to leave. Don't let it be an invitation for a burglar to come into your house or someone to rob you of all your precious valuables. And more than anything, valuables can be replaced, but they rob you of that sense of feeling secure. And that's the most important thing. Install good locks on your doors and windows. My gosh, I can't tell. I've talked to a blue in the face for 44 years now about how important it is, to have good locks. The kind of locks that we have on our bathroom doors, that's not the kind you need on your front door. Put your good deadbolt locks. Know how to use those deadbolt locks. If you hide a key, and I know a lot of people do, if you hide a key outside, stop hiding your keys outside. Come on, folks. We all watch TV. The burglars watch TV. The bad guys watch TV. Don't hide keys outside. The best thing you can do, if you're afraid of not locking yourself out of the house, and I know this is expensive, go down to your local hardware store, go to Home Depot, go to Lowe's, somewhere that's a little bit larger. They have the different kind of door locks that are combination door locks. They're not real expensive. They run off of a battery. I've got those on every one of my doors. A lot of police departments use them. We used them at Cameron PD, and that's what encouraged me to go buy my own for my own doors. So do that. Also, if you've got mail coming to your house, a lot of us do. A lot of us don't have post office boxes. If you're anticipating deliveries of some kind of a checks, or maybe you order checks, hopefully everybody's using debit cards now, but if you order hard copy checks, make sure they deliver it where you have to sign for it. Setting it out in your mailbox for a while, it's an open invitation for someone to come steal your checks. You know, and one of the things that I really, really have a pet peeve about, and I got to tell you about that pet peeve, this is for the safety of not only yourself, but it also helps your local police department. And more importantly, it helps your local emergency medical services. If you have a house that does not have numbers on it, for instance, I'm sitting in a business right now that has the front door numbers of 12013. That's five big numbers. But those numbers are 6 inches tall. And I don't have to wonder what address it is. Put an address on your house at least 4 inches in height. That way, if at nighttime or daytime, your house is recognizable. Folks, I'm telling you, too many times, I have seen police officers having to wonder what kind of house we're going to. You know, is that the house where someone's calling for help? There's no numbers on it. Put some numbers on your house. Make sure it's big enough that you can see from the road. And folks, at nighttime, turn your lights on every single night. And you're thinking, wow, that old ex-cop, he's trying to run my electric bill up. Let me tell you, there is a formula you can use. If you run your lights every single night, the front and the back door lights or outdoor lights, you're looking at less than a couple of dollars a month on your electric bill. If you run your microwave for 5 minutes or more a day, you've run that more than what it costs to light up your house all day long. And the key is, folks, you light it up every single night. Every single night. Too often, very too often, people turn on burglar beacons. And what we mean by that is, when someone leaves to go somewhere, they flip their lights on. And then when they get home, they flip them off. Well, if you're going to flip it on, that means you're not going to be home. If you do it every single night, nobody knows. Don't take the chance. Cut your lights on every single night. Now, the one thing that I will tell you that is very important, and I don't know if y'all want to do this or not, and I'm telling you, it's down where you can afford it now. There is doorbells that run off the internet called the Ring. Excellent, excellent safety for a homeowner. You can see who's at your house. It records who's at your house. But better yet, go down, spend the $25 a month it's going to cost you. Have a good alarm system installed. Not one of the fly-by-night alarm installers, but get a good system put in. Have somebody install it for you. And I might even go further. If you're really worried about your home security, you can go down to Walmart or Sam's, and for about $200, you can get an excellent, excellent camera system. I know my camera system that was installed at my house, it's wonderful. I can see anybody that's outside. I can see whenever people come up to the door. And trust me, that's a pretty good deal, especially if you got somebody that comes up to the door you don't want to talk to. You know, and there's a lot of things you can do for yourself, folks. The issue is you've got to take the initiative to do that. You've got to get involved. You cannot just step back and say, it won't happen to me. Well, you know what? That's what ostriches do. They stick that head down in the sand, and they say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. Well, folks, you can't do that. You got to take part in your neighborhood, know your neighbors, volunteer to help your neighbors, get to be some kind of a program for yourself that you can help your neighbors know each other. So, folks, I've talked about a lot of things, but senior safety and being a senior citizen is very important. You know, we've earned the right to be safe. I've spent 45 years of my life working in the law enforcement field. I earned the right to retire and be safe. You did, too. Whatever you did for a life, whatever you did for a living, you earned that right to be able to be safe. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't going to come to you free. You got to spend a little bit of time, effort to protect yourself. So until next week, folks, I hope y'all have a wonderful week. God bless you. Take care. And please be safe out there.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
And that's powerful stuff.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Hi, I'm Jason Donalek from Evco Development. What happens when that bargain roofing job fails? Your roof leaks and your ceiling is damaged. You pay for it. That's what. Especially when your bargain roofer is uninsured. Good idea? No. So why take chances? Evco Development has been there for you since 1984. New construction, roofing, remodeling, siding, and more. Call us first. 254-697-2186. 697-2186.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Actually, I wear them in the studio. I wear them in the theater. I pretty much wear them everywhere. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today's the 23rd of February, 2019. And next Saturday and Sunday is going to be the gun show at the Bell County Expo Center, the real gun show. And the reason I'm telling you that is there's going to be a great couple there, Bonnie and Sean McVicker. That's McVicker with not an S, not plural. I had an interview with Sean one time, and he was saying that's singular, not plural. And the reason I'm bringing this up is... Sean is a master engraver, phenomenal work he does that he can do on pretty much anything, but primarily it's guns that he focuses on. And his darling wife, Bonnie, keeps him in check all the time. I think it's so cute the way they work together. But they're a great couple, great team, and he does fantastic work. He's going to be there. I've had some guns done myself by Sean. Absolutely beautiful pieces of art. It's affordable. It can go anywhere from the cheap to super expensive. So when you go to the show next Saturday and Sunday, make sure you link up with Bonnie and Sean there. Stories in Steel. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the radio page. I got the link there. You can check out all his work, read his history, so on and so forth. But check it out. He's a great guy. Bonnie's a beautiful woman. Awesome. They're a great couple. So check them out. Beautiful things to look at, and get one of your guns engraved as a gift to somebody else. It's really a nice thing. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to do my devotional minute right now. In case you're not aware, every Monday through Friday, I send out to a list of people via text a devotional minute. And I do it anywhere from 2 to 4 in the morning, so be advised. But if you'd like to become a member of the list or on the list so I can send these devotions to, give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. That's aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Give me your contact information, and I'll send it to you Monday through Friday. I give you a break on the weekends. But here is one that impressed me the most or motivated me the most or affected me the most this week. It starts off like this. Good morning. Fear God, not man. In the times we live in, we are being pressured into accepting things that we know are not true, correct, or right. When in doubt, refer to God's word. His truth will set us free and on the straight path. And this comes from Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise makes knowledgeable acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And I close by saying, stand firm in what you know to be true, not caving into what the masses are pushing down our throats. Have a blessed day. So if you like something like this, Monday through Friday, sent to you anywhere from 2 to 4 in the morning, aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Give me an email. Give me your name, textable number, and I'll start sending it to you, okay? Now, let's move on to our product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Arch Kuntz is the owner, a good friend of mine, known him for years. He's got a fantastic staff, Clint, Mike, Dave, Dennis, and they'll do pretty much anything they can do to make sure your experience there is a good one. They got a lot of great products, pistols, revolvers, shotguns, rifles, ammo, knives, accessories, black powder, reloading equipment. They're in Heidenhammer, and you can contact them at 254-983-4417. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as it goes with all my sponsors, I want to thank each and every one of them. But I need your assistance. Without your support to the sponsors, they won't support the show. I mean, what doesn't make any good business sense, right? So it's the circle of life. You support them, they support me, and hopefully I continue to give out good information. Also, if you're a business out there and you want to have a built-in customer base in the sense of listening audience as compared to just throwing advertisements out there somewhere, hopefully somebody will see it, give me a call or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Become a sponsor. Your sponsorship will greatly help the program. It costs a lot of money to put a show on, ladies and gentlemen. It takes a lot of time, so I could really use your support. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel. Now, the product spotlight is going to be the Glock 48. And now, everybody, I got a short little video, a really short video, just showing what the Glock 48 looks like. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, excuse me, you'll see me holding the Glock 48. It's two-tone, silver upper with a black polymer receiver. And you're probably going to say, hey, a Glock's a Glock, right? Well, they are. They're excellent. They're excellent guns. But here's the thing that I noticed with Glocks. It's like there's so many different types of people out there, different lengths of finger, size of palm, attitude, way they dress, caliber they can handle. Well, Glock has the wide variety, and the Glock 48 is no different. This is one of those guns that may not be right for you, but it's absolutely perfect for somebody else. It falls, it's the great gun that falls in the crack of all the basic guns. So I'm going to read to you very quickly, a very short little article here by Fred Masterson. I liked it because it was very brief. And then I'm just going to ad lib it as we go on. But this is him. First look, two-tone Glock 48 arrives as a slimmer version of the Glock 19. And in the video, magazine is out, chamber's clear. Here's the Glock 19, okay? I'm going to tell you real quick, this is almost what the Glock 48 looks like, except the upper's silver. It's a quarter of an inch thinner, and it's got a 10-round mag, so it's a little bit thinner on the grip, okay? So although this feels great, and you put the Glock 48 in your hands, it's like, oh, it's perfect. It fits perfect, okay? It may not fit perfect for you, but it's going to fit perfect for the next person next to you, okay? So they got all these different guns. Let me read this article. Coming in approximately a quarter inch slimmer than the current Glock 19, the all-new Glock 48 and its 10+1 capacity should be an instant concealed carry favorite. The Glock 19 is arguably Glock's most popular model. Pound for pound, most Glock fans would have to agree with that statement. For those Glock 19 aficionados, hope I said that right, the just-announced Glock 48 is likely going to please. The Glock 48 is a slimline 9mm pistol touting 10+1 capacity. Very close to the popular Glock 19 in length and height, the Glock 48 stands apart by being almost a quarter of an inch thinner. Think of it as a slimmer Glock 19. Another visible difference is the two-tone color, which strays from Glock's typical all-black. The 48 is extremely comfortable in the hands and makes an exceptional concealed carry gun. With a longer sight radius than the other Glock slimline guns, the G48 is a great addition to Glock's already impressive collection. I can't agree more. The only thing that could make it better, and almost I don't even know if it would make it better for the type of gun it is having a light rail on it. But because I think it's off of the 43 frame, but it's got a Glock 19 length slide, you don't really have room for the light rail. And even then, this Glock 48 is like a bar of soap. It's smooth in the right places. It just tucks away nicely. You got 10 plus 1 capacity, just enough. If you got to use more than that, if you're in a firefight, I can see you having to shoot more than that. But if you're self-defensing yourself, you should be okay with a 10 plus 1 and a couple extra mags, okay? Just make sure you know how to use it. Make sure your mindset's right. Make sure you understand the mechanics of the firearm and practice drawing the weapon and all that. But it's a very sleek gun. It just feels nice. Hand. So if you've got the large gun, like you got a Glock 19, a Glock 17, both 9mm, this kind of fits right in the middle, and I call it the commander of the Glock world. If you're familiar with 1911s, you've got the government size, the 5-inch, you've got the officer's model, 3.5-inch, I believe, and 6-round capacity. The commander model has a 4-inch or 4.25-inch slide, excuse me. It's got a standard lower in the sense that it takes a 7-round mag. The dust cover is a little shorter on a commander frame, but it's just the perfect size. It's not too long. It's not too short. Single stack. It's thin. It's reliable. It's battle proven. So the same thing goes with the Glock 48. It's pretty much a parallel type of comparison for the 1911 to the Glock 48 in the size and handling of the weapon. Of course, the old school 1911's got more bells and whistles on it, slide safety, grip safety, and that, whereas the Glock is basically an idiot gun. Once you load it and you're ready to draw it, just pull the trigger, okay? So the Glock 48, check it out. ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Give them a call at 254-983-4417. Tell them you love it. You want to check it out. Go there. Put your hand on it. Pull out your credit card. Pay cash. Write a check. Whatever you got to do. Make it part of your inventory. ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. The phone number is 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard it here on the show. Go look at aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. Take a look at the video. Or go to the Instagram page there and check out the video. Same video, two different places. And check it out. Do your homework on it. And go support the sponsors who support the program. Joel, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to have my guest, who's going to be Bill Whitmire, the Republican chair of Milam County, and the host of the early morning show, Bleacher Bum Radio, and we're going to be talking about the 25th Amendment. See you on the other side.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Bald Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Bowls. Power through the summer with Cameron's Bald Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Hi, I'm Jason Donalek from Edco Development in Cameron. Okay, so one of those bargain home improvement workers hurt himself on the job. Who pays? You do. Because his low prices don't include insurance for problems like that. So you think you got a bargain? Wrong answer. So why take chances? Edco Development has been there for you since 1984. Remodeling, new construction, roofing, and more. Call us first. We're Edco Development. 254-697-2186. 697-2186.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the HICAP Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Central Texas Martial Arts of Rockdale offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
I like to be in America. Okay, buy me in America. Everything free in America.
For a small fee in America.
Okay. Buying on credit is so nice.
One look at us and they charge twice.
I have my own washing machine.
What will you have though to keep clean?
America. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's February 23rd, 2019, and yes, I played that on purpose for a reason. Stop complaining, okay? For everything good in America, somebody can find something bad. Well, screw it. Stay positive, and let's change it in a positive manner, okay? So that's where I'm coming from. We're boiling down to the 25th Amendment here. People are griping and complaining about President Trump. Because they're sniveling, whining, and complaining. And I've got my special guest here, Bill Whitmire, Republican chair for the Milam County Republican Party. And, of course, famous morning host of Bleacher Bum Radio. Bill, welcome to the show again.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Okay, it's always a pleasure to have you. Now, I've been hearing this, and I've talked to you about this. And I've got the 25th Amendment written right here in front of me. And we'll start off like this. The 25th Amendment, proposed by Congress and ratified by the states in the aftermath of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, provides the procedures for replacing the president or vice president in the event of death, removal, resignation, or incapacitation. Skip down to Article 4, or Section 4, and it says, whenever the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments or of such other body as Congress may by law provide, transmit to the president pro tem of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives, there are written declaration that the President is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. The Vice President shall immediately assume powers and duties of the office of the Acting President. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I read that slower, and I'm not going to because we're going to get into it, you would see that it's pretty much a person who can't do what they're supposed to do or is incapacitated for some reason that we need to have a way to get them out. So I wrote a list here. Why does Trump bother people? Why do they want to use the 25th Amendment to get him out of office? Is it because he has bolstered the economy or brought businesses back to the United States or lowered the unemployment rate, helped to raise the stock market, negotiated with North Korea to cease firing missiles, wants to halt the flow of illegal immigrants, keyword being illegal, wants to bring our troops home from never-ending wars, wants to complete his promises that he campaigned on, or is it just because he tweets too much, is cocky, does not use political correctness, and is against killing unborn babies? Is it that? Okay, so I've got Bill Whitmire here, and we're going to be discussing this, and Bill's a heck of a lot more educated than I am when it comes to these things, and he's going to give his views and opinions about this. But did you want to hit first that email we got?
We can do that last.
Okay, we'll do that last. Yeah. Jonathan, we got your email. We'll be commenting on it in a little bit. All right, go ahead, Bill. Let's talk about it.
Well, the 25th Amendment was set up, like you said, after JFK was assassinated. Basically, because before then, there was nothing that said that the vice president became the actual president. The vice president would be acting president, but there was nothing that said that he was specific enough in the Constitution for it to be one way or the other. So they
25th Amendment, the first one says the VP will become POTUS, president. If there's a VP vacancy, then the president can nominate somebody to take that place, and then the Congress has to approve it. The third one is a temporary transfer of duties. It's really only happened once or twice. Actually, Carter did it twice when he had surgery. Reagan did it once when he had surgery. George W. Bush did it twice when he had surgery. So Dick Cheney was actually acting president for 2 hours both times the president had a colonoscopy.
Didn't we have Spiro Agnew? And
Spiro Agnew was knocked out of office, so Nixon nominated Ford, and Congress approved it. The same thing as when Ford became president, then he nominated Rockefeller, and Rockefeller became vice president. The fourth is the one that you hear people talking about, incompetency, and it's actually only been put together one time, and that was in 1987 when the cabinet and Howard Baker felt that something was wrong with Reagan. After about 2 or 3 weeks, he was having issues. They put it together. They gave him a week to really look at it, and for some reason during that week, president was back to being his normal lucid self. We would later find out 4 years later that he actually had Alzheimer's, and that was actually the initial onset of it. But they were looking to temporarily remove him and let Bush be acting president.
And I could see that as a legitimate concern.
Yeah, and what had happened was, you know, as we know now, when in Alzheimer's there are states, especially in the onset, where a person is troubled, maybe confused, and then you'll have long times when they're lucid and fine. And but that was where it was. In this case, look, this is more of a case of people being upset because an election didn't go the way they wanted to. And here's the fact of the matter. Presidents come and go. The most a president can be there is for 8 years. They come and go. They can have some policy decisions. They can have some directional decisions. They take the government in. But in all reality, the power rests in Congress. And we keep electing the same group of bozos year in, year out. You have John Dingell, who we just had a big funeral for last week, who in my opinion was one of the worst House of Representative members ever. But he was there for 40-some-odd years because he was an educated black man that represented a black part of the Michigan area. And his father was before him. And guess who took his place? His wife. And guess what? You'll have a Dingell in that office for over 70 years, and not a one of them has ever done anything worth talking about except collect a paycheck.
You got Schumers, you got Feinsteins, they're all a bunch of idiots.
And they've been in there forever. Look at their records. I would say half of Congress right now has never done anything except serve in public office, and that's it. And then once they're done, they got to find a real job, and none of them have had a real job. Mitch McConnell, Pelosi. You can just run the list. I mean, it's a litany, and it's on both sides. And these are the people that cause the stagnation in government. And so here you have this guy in Trump who comes into office and quite honestly is doing everything he said he was going to do, whether you like it or not. He's doing everything he said he's going to do. And that's where the politicians have a problem, is because he's doing what he said he was going to do. So especially on the Democrat side, you have this group, and you have a group of moderate Democrats that are like, oh, hold on, man, he's really not that bad. The group that's causing the problems are the group that are from Pelosi and farther left right now, as far as it goes with wanting to enact the 25th Amendment. And I think Pelosi's even starting to figure out, hey, we may not want to unleash this monster, but you've got AOC, you've got Bernie Sanders, you've got all these knuckleheads that are so far left that Castro's looking left going, wait, you need to come back a little bit, you know? And so those are the people. It's hysteria, and it's quite honestly, I think a lot of people look at it as stupidity that these people are even pushing this, but they're pushing it because they have a political agenda. It's not going to work.
They have a political agenda, not only the people who are elected have a political agenda, but I think the people of the public have a selfish attitude towards this country. Let me correct my statement. There's a very large population base in this country who are very selfish and want nothing but the best for them when they put themselves first and the country should come first. Without this country, without its protected borders, without its secure economy, without its secure defense, will not allow you to have all those selfish things that you and I want. But be smart and realize that comes first before us. Otherwise, we have neither one of it. We're strangling the goose that's laid in our golden eggs. I don't mind a golden egg. I like a few of them in my pocket, but I'm not going to strangle the goose that gives it.
Well, you're seeing that in the state. We created a state that was positive business, great for the people that lived here, and now you're having these flood of people coming in from liberal states because they're fleeing what they created.
That's it, yeah.
And they're coming here, and they're going to create this. And I, when I see the governor celebrating bringing another medical industry into the state, another liberal industry, hey, bring me some gun manufacturers. Bring me some body armor manufacturers. Bring me some people that respect and like conservative values. Quit bringing me medical people, insurance people, because what they bring is a load of liberals from California, from New York, from Ohio, from Pennsylvania, and they want to change the laws. Look, here's the truth. The Hager lady almost beat John Carter in Williamson. I mean, she did win Williamson County. Bell County is what saved John Carter and what kept that district red. And I'm not so certain that it's going to happen. And now she's talking about running against Cornyn. And the scary part is she raised $6 million to run for that small congressional office. We look at you bring it to the national level. I'll bring it to the state level. We are 10, 15 years away.
This red state's turning pink.
Yeah. From going, we're going to spread off into that purple and go back to red or go back to blue because we have attracted. I mean, when I graduated high school in 1987, there were 15 million people in the state of Texas. We're at 27, headed to 28 million. And a large majority of the people that have moved into the state in the last 4 or 5 years are super liberal because they can sell a house for $500,000 in California and buy a bigger house here for $200,000 because they've wrecked that economy.
I talked about that last week in New Jersey. They're doing a rain tax on people's driveways and parking lots. And one more reason for people to leave, and very affluent people with money are leaving. They're saying, screw this. You just find other reasons to tax me. So they're bringing all these people with this screwed up attitudes coming to another state, and they want to screw that up. And before you know it, we're going to be gone because we're about the most blue states or red states you can think of.
Go to California, go to Virginia, go to New Jersey. There are inspection stickers and tax stickers on garbage cans. The garbage can that you have to put on the side of the road for the garbage company to come by and pick it up, they tax you for every trash can you have on the side of the road that gets collected. And that's the same sort of attitude of people that we're bringing here. Oh, well, we'll just pay for that by taxing you for this and tax you for that. A friend of mine just registered his car in California this week. He has the same truck I have, 2017 Dodge Ram pickup truck. He paid $735 for his annual registration.
What'd you pay?
Paid, I think, $73. You know?
Why do you think the people, because it's the people's fault, are voting blue?
It's because the people that are moving into the state are voting the same way here that they voted there. I mean, honestly, you're always going to have younger people coming out of college that are going to be blue until they have to start working for a living and paying taxes. And then it's amazing how many of them go to purple or red. The problem is that the same people that ruined their states, made their economies in their states so horrible, are moving to Texas, and then they want to keep voting the same way. They want to keep doing the same things that made their states impossible to live in for them, they want to do here. And until we as a state, as a country, start taxing people on what the government spends, people don't pay attention. They don't vote.
This is a rhetorical question, but why do you think they would like all these immigrants to come in to our country, these illegal immigrants, because they give them amnesty? Who do you think they're going to vote for?
Oh, they'll vote for there's a famous quote attributed to LBJ and when he passed the Civil Rights Act as president. Remember, the Civil Rights Act that they passed in 64 was the same Civil Rights Act that was proposed in 57 when Eisenhower was president. But who was in charge of the Senate at the time? LBJ. So they passed a very similar bill in 57. The only difference is all of the enforcement in that bill was yanked out. So they passed a paper tiger in 57 that Eisenhower wouldn't sign because it didn't do anything. They passed the same bill in 64 but put the enforcement back into it, and that's what Johnson signed. And when Johnson signed that, he said, I secured the black vote for the Democrats for the next 50 years. By signing this bill. And that's what he did.
50 years are up, man.
And that's what they want to do. By allowing illegals into the country, you're securing whichever party allows that to happen and is seen as allowing, the perception is they allowed it to happen, they will secure that vote
for the next 50 years, for two generations, essentially. And that's what's going on. That's what they want. That's why they want so many illegals in the country. Hey, here's the thing. If you want illegals, if you support allowing illegals in the country, okay, do away with welfare. You get rid of welfare, they say, we need illegals to do the jobs Americans won't do. Guess what? There's all these out-of-work Americans. Actually, unemployment's the lowest it's ever been before in this country right now. But let's go ahead and 25th Amendment the president. But unemployment's the lowest it's been, but there's still 3.7% of the population that's unemployed. Okay, fine. We bring in illegal aliens to do the jobs those people won't do. That's cool. But we're going to take away welfare. We're not going to pay people to stay at home and not work.
That's right.
If we're going to allow illegal aliens to come across the border and do those jobs, okay. But we get rid of welfare.
Look, I'm a compassionate person. This country is a compassionate country. And welfare is there for a specific reason. It's not for a lifestyle. It's to help you get you back on your feet.
That's right.
Okay? Once you get back on your feet, okay, start being productive and be thankful for what you were given. Now return the favor.
So That's what... You're exactly right. And that's what 24 or 30 weeks of unemployment does. 99 weeks of unemployment, which is 2 years worth of unemployment.
Didn't it used to be 8 weeks?
It used to be eight weeks. And they stretched it out. And then they made it 6 months. Now it is almost 2 years. It's 99 months.
And what does Cortez want to do? Doesn't she want to make it where people who don't work still get paid?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, who's going to pay for that?
And the thing is, by doing it for 2 years, you create an atmosphere. If you take somebody out of the job market for 2 years, you take them out of the work ethic of 2 years, and you make it to where they can sit for 2 years and collect unemployment, you are enabling them to that lifestyle.
That's right.
You know, if I give somebody heroin for 6 weeks and then I take it off of them, they're still going to want the heroin. If I give them unemployment for 99 weeks, I've created a welfare addict, somebody who wants unemployment. They're an unemployment addict, and that's where it is. And you asked about, what was it, the email asked about the bill?
I had one of our listeners email me and asked a question about the House Bill 357, and I believe it's basically, correct me if I'm wrong, constitutional carry.
It is. It's a bill that guarantees constitutional carry basically for someone that doesn't have a legal record or some other thing that might prohibit them from carrying a weapon. It's not bad. You know, just reading it, it's not bad. The problem with it is it's sponsored and co-sponsored by what we call the Texas Freedom Caucus. And the Freedom Caucus sounds great up front. But what it essentially is it's except for one or two members, the rest of the people are DFW congressman. And it was initially started or initially brought up as a, hey, we're the libertarian part of the Republican Party. We're here to get government out of your life. What it turned into is a group of DFW Republicans that are just good old boys together. And they basically alienated the Texas Freedom Caucus purpose from the rest of the Republican Party. And they really did so with, you know, the primary leader of it, even though Matt Schaefer is the chairman, he's out of Tyler. He's one of the three that isn't from DFW. Have one from Tyler. Kyle Biederman is from Fredericksburg. And Valerie Swanson, who's a first-term representative, she's from Spring. The rest are out of DFW, and they're kind of led by Jonathan Strickland of Bedford, who has become kind of a firebrand for them, but he's also kind of become a lightning rod at the same time. He pushed the bathroom bill to the point where nobody would even hardly talk to him in the legislature because he had just ticked everybody off. And he's the primary sponsor for this bill. And I don't know that it's going to gain a lot of traction because of the Texas Freedom Caucus interest in it. Does it really affect anything? The way things are right now, basically, it just basically says anybody that can own a gun can carry it.
It's going based on the people. You shouldn't have to pay in any way, shape, or form for a right that you have. And I get that. And look, I'm a licensed carry instructor. I make my money, part of my money, training people. However, I'll give it up. Because I'm a constitutionalist. So, but until that point in time, I'm going to profit off of it. Okay. But if it goes constitutional carry, okay. The only thing is, guys and gals who are constitutionalists, if they're going to open carry like that with that right, you better shame them to death with your First Amendment to get some training. I will not tolerate an idiot with a firearm. I'll get in their face and tell them so. You must shame them into training to become proficient with a firearm.
It's a liability issue to a certain extent. Remember, what was it, 15 years ago or so, they made the hunter safety deal. If you were born before 1970 or later, mm-hmm. you had to take hunter safety. I'm thankful my parents had me in 1969. I didn't have to go through that. But I know several guys that are bleacher bums that were born after 70 that had been hunting all their lives, but they had to turn around and go back and take this class before they could renew their hunter's license. And the reason for that, it was a liability issue. It was passed through Congress, and I'm sure the insurance lobby had something to do with it, but it was because so many people were being sued because they allowed someone to come onto their property that was younger, and there was an accident that happened, and so insurance companies kind of pushed it. I think you're going to have an insurance lobby that's gonna want to push against this as well, because at least if people are forced to take a class to open carry, there is some sort of liability that insurance companies can come out and say, hey, that guy was certified by the state to be open carry, so it's not on us. It's on, you know, it keeps liability.
You know, if anybody with common sense, even a constitutionalist, would say, yeah, that's a good idea, and avoid the rub that it's, well, I got to do something for my right. If they can just get past that one hurdle. But I totally get it when they're saying that there shouldn't be anything required for somebody to carry. I get it. But common sense, man, if this is not the days of when you and I grew up and people knew how to use, and your father or somebody taught you how to use a firearm. There's people out there who are clueless, and they think they can remorph once they get shot because of all these video games. It doesn't work that way. Okay, so you have to be very proficient. You have to be very knowledgeable. You have to be very careful and safe with this firearm. Look, you know what? You know, diamonds have seven C's for diamonds. Mm-hmm. Well, there's three C's for gun safety, and that's carelessness causes calamity. Okay, so you need to be careful with your firearms. Look, the time's ticking. I saw this article here, and why don't you tell me what you think about it? I know what I think. Alabama woman who joined Islamic State is not a citizen. An Alabama woman who joined the Islamic State group in Syria won't be allowed to return to the United States with her toddler son because she is not an American citizen, the U.S. said. Her lawyer is challenging that claim, of course. In a brief statement, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo gave no details as to how the administration made the determination. Ms. Hoda, whoever, is not a U.S. citizen and will not be admitted to the United States. She does not have any legal basis, no valid U.S. passport, no right to passport, nor any visa to travel to the United States. But they insisted that she was born in the United States and had a valid passport before she joined the Islamic State. He said he has renounced the terrorist group and wants to come home to protect her 18-year-old month's son, regardless of legal correspondence. This is what I say to the Alabama woman. Screw you. The hell with you. Stay away. Go away. Your deal. Your fault. Get lost. And the other reason I bring this up is he says she does not have any legal basis, no valid U.S. passport, no right to a passport, nor any visa to travel to the United States. Does that sound familiar down south?
Yeah.
Okay, so if it works for her, why are we letting people cross that border? Build a wall! Build a wall. What do you think
about
that?
You know, there's legal precedents for it. There were people during World War II that left that were of German ancestry that left and fought for Nazi Germany before America got into the war. And then when America got into the war, some of them were allowed to return. As soon as America joined the war, they left and deserted the German army, but that was very few. Most of the rest that stayed and fought for Germany were later disavowed by the United States. They lost their citizenship. They had to go through procedures to get it back. This is very similar to that.
ISIS is still a current enemy
of
this country.
So, I mean, there's legal precedent for this having happened in the past, and I don't see where, even if she did have legal documentation as a citizen, I don't see where we're in our wrongs for terminating her citizenship. But there's cause, essentially. You can't just do it because, oh, we don't like that guy. Get him out of here. Okay, he's on vacation in London. Cut a citizenship right now. You can't really do that, but there is cause and there is a precedent for that. Although I guess the only thing is that during when we fought Germany in World War II, there was a declared war, and right now we're not in a declared war, but still they are a hostile enemy.
Bill, we got a couple of minutes left here. There's I reflect back on the Obama administration, and I try when Obama was president, I didn't like his policies, okay? I didn't like how he led the country. I don't like his attitude. It seemed like a lot of people think Trump is dividing the country now. I think it was the same way back then too. But I try to remember a list of accomplishments that he did, and I can't think of a one other than the failed health care. Okay, so when you look at Trump and you look at all these things that he's accomplishing, and it's all that he promised to do, what part, which one are the people so fired up about?
I think it goes back to what you have at the bottom of that sheet. He tweets. If we could just take his Twitter away from him, I mean, it would be. But the Twitter, while there are times where his Twitter feed does tend to add to the fire, there are also times where that Twitter feed allows him to say, hey, look over here at this, and he does this. You know, it distracts so that he can do his job.
I just saw a video of David Letterman. I think it was in 2013. He had Donald Trump on for an interview. He was talking the same things about China. He was saying things about how the economy's not good, and everybody was applauding and loving him because he wasn't running for president. He's saying the same freaking thing.
He's been given NAACP awards. He's been given awards by many black organizations, and there's one meme, and I'm not a big meme. Well, I am a big meme guy, but I usually verify and make sure they're right or they're just really funny, but nothing that's false. But the thing is there was not a single black organization, a single black person that had a problem with him prior to 2017 when he announced that he was going to run for president. And even then, there was no one that had a lot of problems with him until the beginning of 2018 when it looked like, hey, this guy's starting to build some traction. And then it's been an onslaught. But even then, you look and there's, I would say, with minorities, it's half and half, but it's that vocal part that creates all the issues.
Bill, I can't thank you enough for coming on. It's always a pleasure to have this conversation like this. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed it, and times are ticking away. So until next week, keep your batter dry. God bless, and continue with the emails. Give us some topics that you want to go over. We'll see what we can do to comply. Till next week, take care.
Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans.
I'm Gary Nahn. Grammy-winning singer R. Kelly due in court for a bond hearing in Chicago at this hour, following indictment on charges that he sexually abused four victims. CBS News correspondent Jerika Duncan.
Kelly's attorney, Steve Greenberg.
And he's going to be vindicated on all these charges, one by one if it has to be.
The 10 felonies involve four victims. Three were under the age of 17 when R. Kelly allegedly performed multiple forced sex acts on them between 1998 and 2010.
Kelly, who was acquitted of child pornography charges.